Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Acts in chapter 1, I'm not going to do a lot of reading here. I'm going to get over to chapter 4 as quickly as I can. But we read in Acts in chapter 1, we read, of course, the crucifixion is done. And then, of course, the resurrection. Jesus is a living God. And then after that, the ascension of Christ. And then the birthday of the church. And that's what Pastor Josh just read. And what you need to know is on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. The church was born. The city of Jerusalem began to be shook. As a matter of fact, the gospel and that church of Jerusalem, and just simple math in the first five chapters of the book of Acts, numbered no doubt somewhere between 20 and 25,000 people. And in the first century of the church reached the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have media. I'll tell you how I know that. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, Romans chapter 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 18. The gospel went to the whole world. You say, how could that happen? The power of God. Real committed Christians. Man, we serve a great God. This morning, I want to preach a message. Next Sunday, I'm going to take a page off of this message and preach a secondary message to it on what makes a great church. And next Sunday will be a little bit different twist on that than some different facts from the Word of God. But Fundamental Baptist Church, in a lot of ways, has become one of the great churches in Michigan. We're known for our fellowship. We're known for our evangelism. We're known for our joy. We're known for several things. And in some ways, I'm not breaking my arm trying to pat us on the back. Really, that's the last thing that most of us need. But every once in a while, we need to be reminded of all that God is doing for us and in us. And we're going to look at what makes a great church, and you're going to find a lot of those things right here at Fundamental Baptist Church. Are they complete? No. Man, we got a long ways to go. We're nothing like the first century church. We haven't reached the world, even with all of our media and all of our technologies. You see, what we need is the power of God. Friday night was a wonderful night. I don't know, you wouldn't know this unless you were there late afterwards cleaning up. Cards that were filled out, people that checked that verse, checked that part of the card and said, tonight I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Tonight I got born again. 50 to the glory of God. 50. Most of them never darkened the door of this church. Most of them would never go to a church function. Some of them not from the area. We had people from Detroit here, for crying out loud. A man came up to me. This did the heart of this preacher so good, because I was feeling a lot of stress and tension on Friday night. I was kind of running around like a madman. You had never before has Pastor Rader ever prayed, God, turn some people away. You know? That's not exactly how I did it, but two nights prior to, I'm waking up in the middle of the night, man, how are we gonna fit all these people? We had chairs at tables for, I think it was 312 people after everything was done. Chairs at the tables. We had another 45, 50 chairs besides that. We had the bleachers. We had the wrestling mats off in the corner. And I'm thinking, and people just kept coming and coming. I was actually rejoicing when the snow got real bad on Friday night. I thought, this will keep some people. Hey, how many of you got that prayer alert from the church? Got that prayer alert on Friday where the pastor actually said, listen, we got a lot of people coming. Don't feel bad if you can't make it. Don't bring your kids. You know, that kind of thing. And people came, and the chairs are filled up, and people are lined up to get some of those exotic meats and stuff. And the line was all over halfway around the gym, and all the seats are taken. I'm thinking, what are we going to do? I was feeling real tension. And a man from downstate came up to me, a layman, and he said, I just had to come to see the miracle at Kinross. I said, what? He said, the miracle in the UP, a little country church shaking their area for God. Now, you know, I look back and I look at all that God is doing here, and even the auditorium being full this morning, and souls being saved at a regular basis. you and I know it's really not, we don't have all of the power of God. We're not doing everything that we could do. In Sunday school, I asked this question, who's the last person you led to Christ as an individual? You know, I got 250 of the I'm a whosoever pins for the soul winners. And in January, from January to now, I've only given out about 50 of those things. Individual people winning individuals to Christ. And I'm telling you, if you are not a soul winner, this is not my message, I'm just preparing you for it. If you are not a soul winner, you are not in the will of God for your life. You say, Pastor, that's just not my thing. I read my Bible. It is your thing. We are all supposed to be part of it. Don't think, well, my part is just rubbing this, shining this apple over here, you know, to put out there on the table. No, no, no. That's good if that's your ministry. But all along with that, everybody is supposed to be a soul winner. Hey, what makes a great church? Acts in chapter 1, I'm not going to go there. Chapter 2, I said last Sunday after I preached along, I'm going to be more disciplined, all right? A man is healed. The Sanhedrin, the high priest, man, they're upset with Peter. They're upset with the disciples. It says here in verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. The Old Testament prophet in another verse tells us he is from everlasting unto everlasting. Yeah, you need to know this. This world isn't all there is. Our little piddly lives that we live here in this world and the treasure chests that we gather together, man, this isn't all there is. And when this world is done and your life is done, I just read Vance Havner, an old preacher that's now in heaven. He said, everybody's got treasure chests here in this earth. But the truth is, no, I take it back. I read too much. It was missionary St. John, the man who was martyred down in South America. And people criticized him because he was down there giving his life, and he literally did become a martyr, giving his life for a tribe of people that had no appreciation for him. He said, when it's all said and done, all the treasure chests of this life, when our life ends, it's like popping bubbles. They're gone. He said, mine will be eternal. We worship a great God. A great God. That's why people come. Also, let's go back to Acts in chapter 4 again. Acts in chapter 4. A church that is growing makes waves. A resurrection church impacts the world. We read in verse 3, the people heard the word and believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. That was on that day. I mean, things just kept happening. It kept growing. They kept growing. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. A man was healed. A man asked to be healed. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. Rise and walk. Listen, Jesus saves. Jesus gives eternal life. And they're making real waves in the city of Jerusalem. And believe you me, the religious machinery of the day did not like it. Wouldn't it be great if we upset all the religious apple carts in Chippewa County? We don't do it on purpose. We just do it by exalting Christ. We do it by preaching the word. The people, the Bible says here, heard the word. They preached the living Jesus. Verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they weren't men of letters. They didn't have a lot of degrees. They never went to no advanced education at all. But ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So they take him aside and if there was a church where people are saved and lives are literally changed on a regular basis, this county would take notice. And people are hearing about it. But there are people all around us that still have never heard. No one's explained it to them. They have no knowledge of God except for some little smatterings they've gotten from different places. We've got to get our hearts and our minds around the fact that we worship a great God. Verse 24, I got to skip ahead. Verse 24 says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They are great praying church. And we can look at all kinds of scripture concerning that. I know that the prayer alert is annoying sometimes. Man, I send out a lot of the messages and I'm annoyed with it. Someone calls me and they have a prayer request for this, and it's always somebody. And see, there's a window of time that we can put it in. And it says, if you're trying to send your message before 9 or after 9 o'clock, and, you know, it doesn't work. And the truth is, it's on another time zone. So it's really, I think it's like 8 o'clock. And it's messed up in the morning as well. And I go through 100 numbers. How many of you have witnessed me putting a prayer alert on? I mean, there's 100 numbers. You got to listen. You got to go. It's a real long thing. And I get to the end and my fat finger pushes the wrong button. Oh, it makes me so mad. It truly does. Or I'm almost to the end of it and somebody calls me. And I don't know how to set that aside. I don't know how to do that kind of thing. I know the prayer alert. Sometimes you're busy and you hear it. This is Pastor Rader here with a prayer. It's him again. You know, I know that. But praise God, there's people here that are looking for that. A great church is a praying church. By the way, if you took yourself off of that list, shame on you, right? A great church is a praying church. A church that really, really knows how to get a hold of God in prayer. I can't spend no time there. Let's look at verse 31. Verse 31. That was a double negative, wasn't it? That's why we're not on TV. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them of that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They had great doctrine. They spoke the word of God. We see that again and again, just in chapter 2. So they had a great God. They knew how to get a hold of God with that great God with prayer. So great prayer was taking place. And then after that great prayer, they had great doctrine. We're known for Bible preaching and Bible teaching right here at Fundamental Baptist Church. People don't flock here for the music. We have good music, but it's not the center. All right? It enhances. That's all it does. We have a pulpit. And a man stands in that pulpit and he opens the Holy Word of God. He opens the King James Bible, the only one taken from the Textus Receptus, and he preaches the Word of God. And something supernatural happens. And by the way, there are a lot of versions and translations of the Bible, and some of them are very, very weak. Some of them just contain the Word of God. The only one taken from the majority text is the King James Bible. That's the devil's dirty little secret. There's a great preacher, I'll name him, Billy Graham. One time was asked, Dr. Graham, why do you endorse so many different versions and you only preach out of the King James? Listen to what he said. It's in print. I read it like in the late 1970s in Christianity Today. He said, I tried preaching out and using other versions, but it didn't get the same results during the altar call. God's word will never return void. Man, great doctrine. I got to say it just a couple of different ways and we got to move on. It's about hearing the word of God. That's what it's about. If this church does not line up with the word of God, this church needs to change. If your philosophy or my philosophy does not line up with the word of God or contradicts the word of God, I'll tell you what's wrong. It's not the word of God. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord shall endure forever. That's what the scripture says. Mankind is adrift, and we need the scriptures. And may this place always be a place of good doctrine. Not the teachings of men. Not fads. Not the newest thing that comes down the road. But good Bible doctrine. The meat and the milk of God's word. The church of Jerusalem was a great church. Had a great God. Great prayer. Great doctrine. Look at verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Another ingredient of a great church is to have great power. That's a resurrection church. We worship a living God. We're Bible-centric. The Bible exalts Christ. Everything in this book, all 66 books that make up the canon of the Word of God, it exalts Jesus Christ. There is a scarlet thread that runs from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. It's called the gospel. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are Bible-centric. We exalt our great God. And the result is, when we surrender to God, we have great power. Unusual power. Not able to be explained by the thinking of man, power. Think about that. Why would several hundred people gather here on Sunday morning to hear Tim Rader, who stumbles like everybody else, who is far from eloquent, preach out of a book? I'll tell you why. God the Holy Spirit. He brings the sinner and the saint alike. And we hear the scriptures. Great power. Luke chapter 3 and verse 16. Jesus said, I'll baptize you with fire. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. You're to be endued with power from on high. Ephesians 5:18. Be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, and unto the uttermost in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Great power. I want the better than the average bear kind of ministry. I hunger for the power of God in my life and in this pulpit and in our ministry. That extra something that the world cannot explain away. That's God the Holy Spirit. It also says in verse 33, great grace was upon them all. Place of great sacrifice. Let's look at that grace, that great desire, that great sacrifice. Those are the last three things. I'm going to put them all together in the last point here so I'm able to stay on target. God bless you, people. Man, I preached a 20 after last Sunday morning. I really did. I felt guilty about it. Not because I preached that way, but it was Easter. We had visitors. You had hams in the oven and roasts, and I hope none of you had burnt sacrifice at Pastor Rader's expense. My dinner was wonderful. I just wanted to know that because it was the day before is what it was. It says they had great power and great grace was upon them all. That resurrection church. Verse 34 says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses. We're talking about great wealth in the first century church of Jerusalem. Sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. These guys were happy and glad about getting saved. And they were happy in the fellowship and the joy and what they were able to experience with their brethren. They sold what they had and they brought them and they laid the monies from their wealth at the apostles' feet and said, this is for the church. Do what's got to be done. You know, get busy in the ministry. They had all things in common and no one had need, no one lacked. Verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed or nicknamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, obviously a rich man, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Great grace. They were sacrificing people. By the way, what happened on Friday night would not happen without people. God looks for servants and people that will be channels for his blessing. I don't know what the number was. We'll find out because we have pictures. It was between 500 and 600. I could know that just based on what was there and what was going on and the food that was prepared. Tickets that were handed in afterwards for the drawing for the gun, you know, and then tickets that were handed in. People saying, I got saved tonight. I received Christ. I mean, we rejoice in that. But you know why that happened? People sacrificed. There are some ladies that worked hard, long days, the day before, the day of, and the day after. There were men that did not leave the kitchen washing pots and pans till after midnight on Friday night. And they were singing while they were down there. I walked down there. I thought some kids had broken in the church. I'm leaving over here. That's the lights on. I was mad. I was mad at Pastor Josh all over again. Man, the kids left the lights on at the church. And I walked in and, man, I hear singing. I went into the kitchen. There's three guys in their white T-shirts. And they're just singing and washing pot. The three amigos. God bless them. And you need to know this. Thank God for womanhood, because we'd never pull something like that off without the women of this church. That's God is good to us. great grace. I got to say this. I don't know if this happened. But if there's one person here and says, bah, I'm too busy for that stuff. Shame on you. You know, great grace was upon them. Sacrificing people. By the way, I could last Sunday's connector building offering. It was nearly $6,000. God bless. Man, God bless. I'll tell you, I know it's not going to be enough to finish off the inside because everything always costs more than you think. But glory to God. We're moving on. And people are giving and want to give. That's great grace. It is. Serving people. Glory to God. How about one more thing? Great desire. Go to Romans in chapter 10. Make it chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Great servants of God. People who are rescued and redeemed and remade and repurposed. Involved in the work of God. Great desire. See, how could they win that many people to Christ? They were all doing it. That's how they did it. They kept clean before God, and they were all doing it. We have more soul winners than the average church, by far, for the number of people we have here. I know that to be the case. People share with me all the time. It's the same people. They're working at it all the time. They work hard at it, and they're doing what they can do. That early church, it's very obvious everybody was doing it. Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. You know what Paul says there in that first verse? I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating. I'm bearing my heart. I'm telling you the truth. I'm writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Man, what's wrong, Paul? Why the burden? Why the heaviness? Why the continual sorrow? Why the continual tears? For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He said, my brother Jews, my sister Jews, that aren't born again, I'd be willing to go to hell if they'd only come to Christ. I'd be willing. That's impossible, by the way, for a born-again believer. But he said, that's my burden. He said, how do you know he's talking about the Jews? He said, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, all this was for them, whose are the fathers and of whom are concerning the flesh of Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever and ever. Look at chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire, verse 1, and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. See, Paul used that old-fashioned language. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Oh yeah, they're religious, and some of them are very devout, but they're not born again. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted, that's what they got to do to get saved, themselves unto the righteousness of God. You need to surrender. You need to receive Christ. Be born again. This early church had great desire. What makes a great church? Great God, great prayer, great doctrine, great power, great grace, great sacrifice, great desire. When Jesus takes over, self is supernaturally, it becomes secondary. When Jesus takes over, Tim Rader becomes secondary in everything. When I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, we at Fundamental have a great God and a forgiven people. A big God, and we struggle with this, but it's there, a humble people. Let's never get fancy. Let's never get overconfident. Let's never get satisfied. Let's be real. Let's be humble and serve God. Pastor Rader, I'm glad to meet you. I had to come and see for myself the Kinross miracle. That's humbling.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.